Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Texans probably will only be favored one game the rest of the way. Would you be willing to go winless? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Mac, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Mac?
Hey, guys. Good day.
Good day.
First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate you.
I don't think that you can be pro-Texans and your plan A is to embrace the suck. That's got to be a plan B, man.
Mac, are you an Astros Texans fan, Mac? You live in the city of Houston. It sounds like you're a Texans fan. I'm curious if you're an Astros fan. Are you an Astros fan?
Yeah. I'm new to Houston.
Okay.
I'm from Trinidad, but I like what I see in Houston, man.
Appreciate. Well, it's great having you, Mac.
Here's
the thing with the Astros. They went 9 straight seasons without a winning season. They went 3 straight of those years with over 100 losses. They went some of those years with the lowest attendance figures that Houston has ever seen. They were drawing 0.0s on television, and now we're seeing the fruits of those labors. Was it very, very hard to live through those years as a baseball fan in the city? Yes, absolutely. No doubt about it. But now we're in this golden era of Houston Astro baseball because of that, because the Astros embraced the suck. The Rockets played their first ever preseason game yesterday, Mac, and people are bullish on the future of the Rockets. Why are they bullish on the future of the Rockets? Because they have young players that look like will be the foundational pieces of what will be a winning organization. We are celebrating the Astros and the Rockets for embracing the suck. They just didn't have the mantra, and now we're putting the mantra on the Texans. And you don't want to see it. Why not?
No. What I'm saying is if you're pro-Texans, your first plan, your plan A, got to be go Texans, win. And as the season progresses, if you see they're 0-9 or 0-8, then you're like, okay, you go to plan B, embrace the suck. But if you're pro-Texans, man, you can't come out first season, first week of the season, and you're like, embrace the suck. No. I think the callers are right, man. You got to embrace the suck later on.
Appreciate the call, Mac. Look, here's the other thing. The writing's on the wall. When you see the roster, when you see the product that's going out there and you know from preseason and training camp and the roster from last year to this year even, that you don't have the weapons necessary to fight the battle that the other good teams in the league do, you know the writing's already on the wall. So I understand you wait a while, you root that like crazy, you hope for the best, and after 8 or 10 weeks when you're not getting that, then you change gears and say, okay, now we're playing for draft picks. Well, by then, the landscape may have changed with other teams too, and now you might be chasing it to try and get where you need to go from a draft pick position. Here's the other thing where everybody was like, well, show me this example, show me that example. Look, we all know we're living in a world of analytics. Not any formula is foolproof. Not every formula is guaranteed success. But analytics has taught you to play the numbers. You play the percentages. And the percentages state, and you can see, that if you want to do it the way in which it has the best chance to succeed for the long term by building a roster full of talent, you mentioned the Rockets as one of them, where you get a ton of young players that all develop together, that are all not only of the same similar age, but they have skill sets and they have the ratings and the evaluations to tell you that they look like they're going to be the next generation of really good player at their given position, then the numbers add up and say, from a percentage standpoint, you're playing it right to try and have the best chance to succeed, not only for the short term, but the long term, once you get to that certain point. And we're saying it's only a 2-year process. After this regular season, you will be where you start seeing the chances increase for you to be a successful team. You're going to have another big draft. You're going to have money to spend, so you're going to go out and get free agents should you choose to go fill other positions. And then you're going to go into next season knowing you've got a roster that has more percentage of good players than bad players like you didn't have a year ago.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think that the only difference is between, like, the idea of you can later embrace the suck, like when you're out of playoff contention, when you start 0-5-1, when you start poorly, versus, like, because like Mac just said it, one of the other callers said it earlier too, the Dallas Cowboy fan, that embrace the sucks fine once you get to a certain threshold of the season. Once you start 0-5-1, once you're out of playoff contention. The only difference between those opinions and our opinion is we saw it coming. Yeah. We were realistic where the Houston Texans were and where they were going to be after four games, where they were going to be after six games. We ruled the Texans out of playoff contention before the season ever kicked off at NRG Stadium. And I think that's the difference between
we
our opinion and that opinion.
We knew who the quarterback was going to be for the full season. We looked at all the different elements that go into successful seasons in the NFL, and it was in our judgment that they were not a playoff team, that they were not there yet. So then do you want to be, and we've said this over and over again, in this league, like in almost all professional sports, you're either really good or really bad. The mediocrity that kind of waits in the middle never really gets that substantial jump either way until you accept going to really bad so you can try and get really good. And that's why this is the formula that we chose and we've been, you know, kind of politicking for because of the fact that it makes sense for who they are and where they've been. Yep.
Would you take a winless season? Herman tweeting at us. He included you this time. His second favorite Killer B. These people are stupid. Who gives an F word about a few worthless wins? We need all the picks we can get. We suck and Smith sucks too. He's too conservative. I hope we lose every single game. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Will you take zero wins? 713-780-3776. Let's go to John on the HRP listener line. What's up, John?
Yeah, I'm calling about the Cowboy fan earlier because I grew up a Cowboy fan, but I'm also a Texan fan, so I know what both teams are going through. To me, you know, this is what the Cowboys have made a mistake. They've never really taken a step back to improve, you know, take two steps forward. Every year since the 90s, they've tried to, they say it's our year, we're gonna load up and try again, load up and try again. And all that has done is put them in NFL purgatory. They've been borderline ever since. Not great, not terrible, and that's where that ends up. And the Texans were that way for a while also. So I'll embrace the suck any day. If you can take one step back, take two, three steps forward, I'll do that any day.
It's a great call. It might be called today, John. Outstanding philosophy.
The Rockets were in a state of basketball purgatory for a long time. The Mo Taylor, Mucci Norris, that little era there.
Scola, Aaron Brooks for years too. 41 wins-ish,
yeah,
38
like
41 to 41.
Wins
right.
Like for five consecutive years.
Ooh, but just, they're exciting, Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, that's debatable. I mean, that's the situation that I hate to be in sports. I hate to be the 8-9 team, right? Where you're on the cusp, but you're not, and you're not really ever good enough, but you also can't ever get good enough. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Go to the other John on the HRP listener line. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
It is what it is. Like I said, y'all saw this like miles away. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's call it what it is. And, you know, I'm a true fan. I ain't going to be like those other Jacks. Fans we got, they're going to say we go to Super Bowl every year or we got a playoff chance. No, we don't. We got a chance to go for the number one draft pick, and that's what it is. And so let's be honest. You know, when they built this team, it was to get the number one draft pick. What else?
Yep. Appreciate
what you looking for.
Appreciate the call, John. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. I literally have no idea what he just said. Anybody pick up on anything he just said? Yeah. I think it was bad reception there, John. Not your fault. I think it was bad reception.
But he said the roster that they've built was built with the intent that they were going to embrace the suck for at least one more year.
Casario could have improved the talent on this team. How?
Yep.
By trading future draft picks for current players.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do you want that?
Improve quarterback. You know, take a veteran guy that doesn't sync up with the young players you've drafted.
I'm glad you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. Because every time somebody mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, they scoffed at the notion of Jimmy Garoppolo. Why did they scoff at the notion of Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it diminishes the potential future of this team because he's going to be playing over Davis Mills. Jimmy Garoppolo probably has two wins on this Houston Texans team, if not three. So, like, you can't scoff at Jimmy Garoppolo and then on the other side scoff at embrace the suck. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth at that point.
I think John was basically saying, he didn't say these exact words, but maybe he's not embracing the suck, but it is what it is.
Oh, I think he's a lot of people have said that. He said he's embracing it. He understands. He said he's not going to be like these other Jack.
It felt less like an embracing it and more like accepting it to me.
A lot of people on the text line have said there's no choice but to embrace the suck. Yeah. There's no choice to escape the suck because it is your current
disagree.
It's your current state of life.
You can always live in fantasy land. That is an option.
Okay.
I'm being honest with you. It is.
So then keep buying hundreds of dollars in lottery tickets.
Sometimes it's a defense mechanism when your team sucks.
Sell us that oceanfront property in Arizona about the Houston and Texans after an 0-3-1 start. Sell it to us.
We know Davis Mills isn't this bad.
Yes.
He can't be. It's not possible. Well, and you just said Jimmy Garoppolo would have 2 wins on this season.
Okay.
Going into the season, would you have said it was possible for Davis Mills to be Jimmy Garoppolo?
Sure.
All right, there you go. All we need is Davis Mills.
Yeah, where
Davis
are we
Mills
going?
Needs to figure his stuff out, reach Jimmy Garoppolo level of competence, and this team's on the right track.
See, I think we have smart fans. I think that by now people could have seen the reasons why we said what we said and believe that the plan is in place to do what they need to do so that this team can do what we want them to do for a long period of time. The fact is, again, if you're not going to make the playoffs, if you couldn't see this team making the playoffs, are you going to say that the jollies that you get out of a win here and there on a Sunday is going to supersede the fact that if you just got over that 1 or 2 extra wins that you were getting on a Sundays, that you could have a ton of joyful Sundays for multiple years to come if you just keep steady to the plan?
713-780-ESPN. Will you take a winless season for the Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, it's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees. If you got a question for the Killer Bees, could be whatever you want it to be, like Keith from L.A. He said, why do you guys spend a whole show talking about losers? Well, I think Keith from L.A., that's
a
cheap
shot. We didn't talk about the Dodgers that long.
They got a 60-win World Series, they do.
Oh, yes, they do, under their belt.
713-780-ESPN. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Whatever you want. Football, basketball, food, weather, city, whatever. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ryan, you're in the Hive with a Mailbag Monday question for the Killer Bees. What's your question?
What's going on, fellas? So say you have a legit shot at getting Aaron Judge, but you have to give up key players to get him. Are you willing to make a trade, and what key players are you willing to give up?
Oh, man. I mean, key players you're willing to give up. That's kind of a loaded question. Would I trade?
How many of them?
Would I trade Jeremy Pena for Aaron Judge?
Would you trade?
I would.
Would you trade Jeremy Pena, Kyle Tucker?
No. The conversation's over. No.
Really?
Really. Yeah, okay. Really. I'm getting more value from Tucker Pena for the dollar than I'm going to get for Aaron Judge next year. Yeah, you can end the conversation with Tucker and Pena.
You got to believe they would want Tucker. They need someone to try and replace him, even if it's just in right field. Sure. So then, okay, how about Tucker, Fromber?
Nope, out. Done. Okay. Done. It's going to be hard for me to give up 2 big leaguers like that are significant parts of the future. For Judge.
And there's too many variables that we don't know, which is like how long you're going to have to sign him for and pay him.
Age, money.
How much, how long of a contract, things like that factor in because he is over 30. So, yeah, I mean, that's a tough question.
Somebody just texted one, kind of piggybacking off of that one. 713-780-ESPN, your questions for the Killer Bees. 713-780-3776. Would you rather pay Verlander $40 million or Judge $40
million? Well, with the pitching staff
that's
that you
a good
have,
question.
Yeah, I would definitely lean Judge.
I'm shocked you said that. What? I am shocked you said I can tell how impressionable I am on you, Blankers.
Oh, you stop.
I can tell.
You shut your mouth.
I'm just saying. I would pay Judge $40 million for 1 year before I pay Verlander $40 million for 1 year. You still, even without Justin Verlander, does your pitching staff take a drop?
Sure.
Yes, it does. Although that's not guaranteed because he's going to be 40 years old. But even if you just eliminate Justin Verlander's season from this year's pitching staff, the Astros have the top ERA in all of baseball, even without Justin Verlander. So you still have the top ERA in all of baseball, and now you
strength
add Aaron
numbers,
Judge.
You got numerous starters.
And then now you add Aaron Judge to Altuve, Yordan, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. Yeah, give me Judge over 40 over Verlander 40.
That. And the thing that's scary, because I want to deny every bit of what you tried to the minutia you tried to throw
what
out there.
What minutia?
About me, like, having any influence on me?
No.
But I'm not even going to say it right now. Never
say
mind.
It.
No, go
no,
ahead.
You gotta
no,
say,
go
you
ahead.
Can't, you can't tease that and not say it.
No.
You I'll can't wait. Do that.
I'll wait. I did it.
What do you mean?
What other questions we got?
713-780-ESPN. What are your questions for the Killer Bees?
Okay,
713-780-3776.
I'm waiting for a day very short, in the very near future, that you propose, and I don't know that I would agree, which is painful, that Christian Javier might be the best pitcher in the ace on this staff.
He's not better than Verlander.
For next year, I mean.
Next year?
Yeah. He might be better than Fromber.
I don't think it's a hot take at all. You know how long I've been saying that about Javier?
I don't know. You said that he's the ace better than
Well, he's not better than Verlander.
No.
He's not the ace on this year's staff.
But just his stuff just translates to getting guys out. It's crazy how good his stuff is.
I mean, how often have we said if Javier had numbers to qualify? I think the latest is he'd be tied for fifth in ERA in baseball. Shane McClanahan, where people were talking about getting Cy Young votes. We were talking last week that Christian Javier, the conversation of him being in the playoff rotation should not be a question. The question should be how many Cy Young votes does he get? The dude's good. The dude's got a better ERA than Fromber. 5516. Most important question is, will Joel embrace the suck once Rodgers retires or leaves the Packers? Because they're not far from the Texans without Rodgers.
Don't disagree at all. And that's why I've been adamant, if you listen to the show, about saying I can't stand how Aaron Rodgers, what he's turned into off the field. But I know that with him, my football team has a chance to win every weekend. And without him, we are going to be hot garbage. And so there will be a certain there'll be a time coming very soon that I probably will have to embrace the suck. Otherwise, because there is already a roster in place that is very, very, very good and young and talented, they're going to have to dabble in free agency to go get another quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think that the Packers have that bad of a roster.
They really don't.
Their defense is fine. I know that you're not like over the moon on Watson or Dobbs, but I think both of them have a very bright future.
Well, Dobbs dropped a ball that would have won the game yesterday, but Dobbs has looked better, and Watson is starting to come around. So, yeah.
I think I like both of those guys for the future.
I still think they're going to trade for a veteran one.
I don't know. We're on a different opinion there.
OBJ, they will bring in, or they will look at, they will call Seattle and they will check in and see if they can get a one. I'm just saying.
I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens.
I don't know if it happens or not. I think you don't think they'll sign OBJ?
I don't think so.
I do.
I think that they like their big three with Lazard. He's still
bitching. He was bitching yesterday. Rodgers was. If he keeps bitching week after week, they're going to try and appease him again and find a receiver.
Well, he's always doing that, period.
I don't disagree with
that
either.
He could have Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and Rob Gronkowski, and he'd still be doing that.
Don't disagree.
713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Wes, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question, and I just had a comment on the Texans. But my question is, my question on the Astros is, I've been an Astro fan for 50 years. And so, you know, everybody just don't jump down my throat. But I just can't help having a feeling.
Wes, what's your question?
Come on, Wes, we got to go.
What's your question, Wes?
You think Verlander's on Roy?
Do I think Verlander's on roids? Appreciate the call, Wes. I've heard some people joke that he might be on some deer antler.
We took that long to get to that?
Wes, whenever there was some radio host, I don't remember what city they're in. They're probably in St. Louis. They suggested that Albert Pujols was taking performance-enhancing drugs, and Albert Pujols sued them for slander, and I think that they had to pay out Albert Pujols.
No,
I don't think Justin Verlander's on any sort of performance-enhancing drugs.
You can never be 100% certain, but I'm looking at Justin Verlander, and I'm not thinking steroids.
No, he's not on performance-enhancing drugs. 713-780-ESPN, 0170. I'm going to the Phillies game tonight. No, you're going to the Astros game tonight featuring the Phillies, but he wants to know which vendor has the best beer.
No clue.
I would suggest going to I forget what it's called. I don't know if it's like the Amazon market or what, but it's in center field. It's in center field behind the Pluckers. You walk in there, you put your card, they swipe your card before you walk in. You go grab what you're going to grab, and you walk right on out without having to go to pay. So you pay as you walk in. They know what you're taking with you. I would suggest going there, and they have every beer that they're going to sell in the stadium.
You know that
right
they're not
going to
ding you with extra beers you didn't order?
I mean, you can always check your summary afterwards. Okay. I did it when I went to the game last week, and it is the way to go. Center field market. I think it's the Amazon market, but don't quote me on that. You swipe your card as you walk in, you grab your beer, and you go. It is fantastic. I love it. Technology's great. 713-780-3776. 0754. Who you taking, Ohtani or Judge? Not a whole lot of parameters there. I'm going to assume I'm the Astros. I'm going to assume I'm the general manager of the Astros. Who you taking, Ohtani or Judge? I'm taking Ohtani 10 times out of 10, and I'm not even thinking twice.
Yeah, I think, you know, double whammy in terms of the positives he brings, when he's pitching, when he's hitting. I think, he's younger, right?
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
younger, too.
I don't think it's by a lot, though. I mean, 2-3 years.
But I just think that there's a reason why, for whatever Judge gets, I think we were talking about Ohtani being the first $50 million a year guy because he does two things so well. Yeah, I think I'd take Ohtani, too.
Shohei is currently 28 years old. Aaron Judge is 30. So, yep. 2-year difference. Mm-hmm. 2-year difference between the two. 713-780-ESPN, our mailbag Monday. Do either of you know what it would cost to get the naming rights back for the Oilers?
I think that's up to the Adams family.
I think it would require holding her hostage. I don't think she's going to.
She likes the
blackmail,
fact,
hostage something.
Whether it's just she got it from her dad or she also has an axe to grind and issues mm-hmm. with Houston and the whole city and how it all went down. But they like the fact that Houston gets its fanny chapped every time anything comes up with that.
Yep.
It's not going any. There's a reason why they not only brought back all the Oiler greats, but then had all the quotes out there of all the Oiler greats saying, this is great. This is how we thought we'd be taken care of in Houston. We've never gotten what we've gotten here in Tennessee.
Yep.
There's a reason behind all of that.
Yeah, and like they're NFL owners. They're printing money. So it's not like they're going to, oh, yeah, $100 million. Let's do that. And I don't think that Cal McNair and the Texans want that anyways. Like, they're pretty proud about that Texans logo. They don't want to be compared to anybody else. Is it fair to be a fan of UFC but be upset about Tua playing last week, Mark?
Sure. I think, you know, you can look at every sport differently. Look, we deal with a lot of irrational fans on a daily basis. I think it's a fair to be a fan of however you want a fan. And if you love UFC, but you have an issue with how Tua's situation was handled, then so be it. I think that there's people that have differing opinions, but that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fair to be a fan of both. Two different sports, right? Like, if I understand that the NFL is violent, UFC is a combat sport. What is weird is, like, UFC dudes get knocked out, boxers get knocked down, I should say, but they make the count, right? Mm-hmm. And they're fighting right again. And sometimes it happens in the first round, they're going to 11 other rounds at 3 minutes
apiece. They don't want to get told to stop. They don't want to quit. They want to keep going back for more.
Yeah. See, this one's tough because, look, I love the physical nature of football. I love boxing and I love UFC. I probably loved it a little bit more when I was a little bit younger. But the NFL is so corporate now, and it's so paranoid about the perception against player safety. And they, like, but we the NFLPA is involved. Like, there's so much that goes into play.
And we pegged it, too, with the Tua situation, that this wasn't on the Dolphins doctors. This wasn't on the Dolphins head coaches. This was on that, quote-unquote, independent physician or physicians doing the job the way they were supposed to do it and the league, and they did what they had to do.
I don't think it is fair. To answer the question, because I kind of danced around it, is it fair to be a fan of USC but be upset about Tua playing last week? No, I don't think it is fair. I don't think you could have, like, dudes knocking each other out, then getting back up and fighting, and then also play the morality card on Tua. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, where are the Rockets in Embrace the Suck? Is it dead? And how does it compare to the Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. NBA season is here. We know the NFL season's here. The Killer Bees are hoping the Rams win tonight by a certain number. And if you have interest in placing some bets, BetUS.com is the place to do it. They have 28 years now of NFL action. They have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus, up to 200%. And BetUS also offers you the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. We just mentioned the NFL. We just mentioned the NBA. There's some baseball tonight. A few days left in the regular season. There's playoff baseball this week in Major League Baseball, college football, much, much more. And while you're sweating those sports bets, BetUS also has hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and they have live dealers waiting for you for all those table games that you like. You need a sportsbook with longevity and integrity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting. That's always great to do. MMA, we were just talking about that. Golf, you want to play some bet on the ponies, you can do that. Heck, if you want to bet on esports, you can do that. They also have your favorite kinds of crazy bets and parlays. Call right now, 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BETUS. Join now, mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If the Rockets play a preseason game that is televised on Rockets.com, did it really happen?
It wasn't televised on AT&T Sportsnet?
I looked. I was trying to at least DVR it to watch it,
yeah.
But it was, nope. It was only streamed through the website.
That's crazy.
I don't know the science behind it.
There was no conflict with Astros, right?
I couldn't tell you why, but it wasn't.
Wow.
Now, it was on NBA TV today, the replay. But
I'm sorry, but previous regimes of the Houston Rockets, including ones I worked for, would have never found that acceptable. That their fans should have had access to every single game on television, over the air TV. That's crazy.
Maybe they should get you back over
there. I was
going
to say that if a tree falls in the woods and no one was there to hear it, mm-hmm. if a Rockets game was played and no one knew it was going on, did anybody watch it?
Right.
And now they couldn't watch it even if they wanted to, you're telling me.
Well, they could, but they had to go to Rockets.com and watch it there.
That's crazy to me.
I'm just telling you.
Based on my previous life and responsibilities. That would have never been acceptable.
Now, they won the basketball game.
By a lot.
They blew out the San Antonio Spurs in preseason basketball, 134-96.
The locksmith played well.
Who's that?
Jabari Smith.
We're calling Jabari Smith the locksmith.
That's what he's calling himself.
I don't like that name. Not a fan. He had a huge game, though. He had 21 points. Now, this is like summer league. We looked at Jabari Smith and we're like, he looks all right. Doesn't look great. This is the difference between a night when your shots are falling and when your shots are not. Because Jabari Smith was the same player last night as he was during the summer league. It's just the summer league, his shots didn't fall. Last night, his shots fell. He had 21 points, 8 rebounds. He was good. The Rockets were good overall. And it's starting to bring a lot of people to have excitement about this Rockets team. And look, I'm excited for the Rockets this year, too. I want to see Kevin Porter Jr., second year as a point guard, to see if he can do it. I have my doubts and reservations. It's also the final year of his deal. But more importantly, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, what do they look like as a 1-2? You have Alpi, who's going to get starter minutes this year, which is exciting. Tari Eason, who we were really liking after the summer league, and we liked him whenever he was drafted as well. So the Rockets are going to be fun to watch. I think that the Rockets could potentially top ceiling get that 9 or 10 seed in the Western Conference, which would get them into a play-in game. I'm not ready to be placing any sort of Rockets to the playoff tickets, but it's fine. Like, they're a rebuild. They have players that are younger than 21. But where are the Rockets in embrace the suck? And is it okay to say that for the Rockets that whole embrace the suck mantra is dead this year, going into this year?
One more year. I want it to be exciting, but this draft coming up is the last time that you really are going to capitalize on having own pick.
They have to be better next year.
Right. So I think that, not that it's a necessity based on the fact they already have building blocks and potential pieces in place, but it would be nice to load up with one more. And you look at the Golden State model when everybody's always looking for examples from us. But when you look at a team that was able to draft the majority of its rotational players and some superstars, it's easier to put the other pieces around them, including if you want a Kevin Durant, but also just the other, you know, free agents and players that want to come play here. If you can get one more top two, top three, or top overall pick while you still have a chance, you should probably capitalize on the insurance policy of going, if one of those guys we already have doesn't hit, we got a chance to get one more that could.
I'm ready for the Rockets to win. If they tank, they have an injury to Jalen Green, you luck into that top spot because of the lottery, that's fine. But when you have Jabari, when you have Jalen Green, I'm ready for the Rockets to start to win games. I want them to play in that play-in game so they can start kind of a positive momentum going forward to what should be a young nucleus of a playoff contender for years going forward. Like, I think that starts as soon as next season. I'm not going to bet on them to make the playoffs this year, but I think they can be that 10 seed. Last year, 30 wins would get you there.
I think they're going to be very entertaining. I think they're going to be extremely fun to watch. I think that, unlike the Texans and the embrace the suck plan in mantra, you have a team that already has a roster full of young, talented players that have the potential to be superstars, to be role players, to be everything you need them to be to build an entire team out that can make a run for a long period of time.
Yep.
Right now, the biggest problem that you're up against, while you see who could be the superstars amongst that bunch, is the fact that the West is still loaded, that the West still has a lot of really good teams. And so trying to get in and get where you want to go, I don't know if it's worth it for one more year when you can still get one more good pick, knowing that in the West, you still have the Warriors. The Lakers are trying to, you know, be relevant again. But you have Phoenix, and you have Memphis, and you have all these teams that, and Dallas, and you have all these teams that already have their superstars in place that made runs a year ago that aren't going anywhere. Denver gets better because they get injured players back.
But, I mean, only five teams don't make the at least play-in. Last year, the Spurs at 34-48 got there. And they're not making it, so one team's going to drop out. If you say that the Lakers will be back up there, that's fine.
New Orleans got a lot better.
New Orleans made it last year, though. Like, you're not jumping New Orleans. I think that this is in play. I think 35 wins is in play for the Rockets. But as it relates to the Rockets and the Texans, I would say, look, and all your points are fine because you do have another first-rounder. Then all of the first-rounders start to get traded away in that silly Russell Westbrook trade. But as it relates to the Texans, if you're comparing the Rockets in their rebuild to where the Texans are in their rebuild, I believe the Rockets are 1 year in front of where the Texans are.
I agree.
Like, the Texans have their star, right, in Derek Stingley Jr., who they picked at number three. The Rockets got their star in Jabari Smith. And it's hard to compare NFL players to NBA players. But the Rockets are a year ahead of the rebuild. I think next year in 2023, when we look at this Houston Texans team, that we're going to see, okay, you still have all the young guys this year, Stingley, Petrie. You're going to get Mechie back, hopefully. Hopefully Christian Harris shows something. I like what I've seen from Kenyon Green. Damian Pierce has been a steal and a revelation in the fourth round. And then when you stack another draft class that's similar, I think that the Texans next year opening day will be on the same point of where the Rockets are right now.
Aren't the Rockets more than a year ahead because they got Green first?
So they had Jalen Green last year, and you got Jabari Smith. But he's entering his second season. Next year, Derek Stingley and all of them will be entering their second season. So the Rockets, I think that they're a year ahead.
Okay, I think it might be a little longer than a year, but still, nonetheless, you have with the Rockets what you don't. Because Stingley and Starr still are yet to be determined. That's also could be said of the Rockets players, but the early indications and signs are that they are more on that kind of streamline to get there, whereas you're hoping that they got their evaluations right on Stingley and he could be a guy, but he's also not playing the same kind of position that you're talking about with the guys on a smaller roster with the Rockets, where you've got that kind of guard, swing guard, small forward in Green, and you've got a guy that's a versatile kind of a stretch four in Smith that play vital roles in the NBA these days in terms of the best teams have the best players at those positions more so than maybe any other position. Whereas in the NFL, yes, it'd be great to have a lockdown down corner.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need the quarterback.
Part of it, I mean, you're hoping. Like, I think that the Texans would be happy if they're where the Rockets are next year.
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of it's hopeful and wishful thinking and hoping that some of those younger players develop more.
Well, you got a quarterback that you're hoping, Jalen Green is going to turn into be a superstar, but you know all the signs are right and this guy looks like he's got a ton of talent. That's exactly where you want to be.
And even if it's a rookie. Like, Jabari Smith's a rookie this year. We don't think that Jabari Smith's going to be an all-star in year one. Now we think he's going to start showing what is going to be a good career. Like, I think it's going to be a solid rookie year of what's overall going to be a really good career for Jabari Smith. So the Rockets entering this season, 2022-23 season, I think is actually like a good barometer for where the Texans would like to be going into next year. You look at Twitter yesterday, the Rockets are playing one preseason game. It's not even televised. It's on Rockets.com, and people are pretty bullish about where the Rockets are in their rebuild. They're pretty bullish on how exciting the Rockets could potentially be. They're bullish on the future of Jalen Green and Jabari Smith. The Texans next year would be lucky to be where the Rockets currently are. But they could get there. Like, if we think that Stingley is going to have a good finish to the season, Derek Stingley will be there. Jalen Petrie, we were talking about Jalen Petrie being a defensive rookie of the year. So we'll be excited about that. Hopefully Harris shows something. We'll be excited about that. On top of that, the Texans, I think it's fair to say, will be looking at a top three pick in this year's draft. So we'll be excited whoever that is. And if you have a top three pick in the NFL draft, that all but guarantees you, if you want it, one of the big three quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. You're also going to have the Browns pick, which, after yesterday, I was talking last week, I don't put words in your mouth, that the Browns look like a playoff team to me. They lose to Atlanta. That might be a pick that's outside of the playoffs as well.
No doubt. That's why I said it doesn't matter which of the two picks you use on the quarterback. I still firmly believe you use one of those picks on a quarterback. And hopefully, if you can get a good quarterback, you can have the choice to, and you have the flexibility to do whatever you want to do with both of those first-round picks. But that's why I said all along, no matter what scenario plays out this season, there's nothing that precludes you from taking a quarterback with one of the first two picks. If there's, unlike a year ago, multiple quarterbacks that are worthy, should be in a great position. That's great. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think that the reason why the Texans are behind the Rockets more so than anything else is the versatility is one thing from the Rockets' perspective, but to have two guys playing two of the premier positions in this league that could be superstars, as opposed to you still searching for your quarterback.
I think that's why they're the bar. Like, the Texans would be lucky to be in a spot opening day 2023 that the Rockets are. Now, they can get there. They can get that quarterback, because if you get any of the big three quarterbacks, like, they don't even have to show anything, and people will be excited.
No, but the excitement will be all world for them.
Yep. The Rockets a good bar for the Houston Texans, where they are in this rebuild. They embrace the suck, and the Rockets embraced it for a little while. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll ask one of the Wheelhouse men how they would feel if the Texans go winless, and how about these thoughts on a couple of Astro reports that the Astros could be moving on from their general manager no matter how far they go in the postseason. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jake Asman is hanging out with us. Jake, did you have a good weekend?
I did. I hope you guys had they did win.
Beat the Steelers. He had a great week.
Yeah, that's true.
The Steelers bench Mitch Trubisky to go with Kenny Pickett. And old small hand Pickett throws three interceptions.
He found a way for the Jets to pick it.
Do you know? Yeah, he did. Do you know that he didn't? Every single one of his passes was completed
to someone from the other team.
He was 7 of 10 throwing the football. His three non completions were interceptions.
You have to tell this guy. He watched every
pretty
play.
Amazing.
Not a single ball hit the ground.
Yeah, that's nuts. He's efficient. Did Sauce have
nuts
a pick?
Nuts or balls, either way.
No, Sauce didn't have a pick, but he led to the game-winning pick. He tipped the game-winning pick to another Jets defender.
So he's been better than Stingley so far?
Well, I mean, let me say this, because every time I talk about Sauce Gardner, the listeners texted, "Ah, you're just saying that because you're a Jet fan." I'm not saying that because I wanted Sauce Gardner to be a Texan when we were in Vegas for the draft that night. I said, draft him number three if you're taking a corner. Sauce has been phenomenal. He's been great, and I think he has a great chance to win Defensive Rookie of the Year if this continues. He's been phenomenal every game this year.
Hmm. He's had a better year than Petrie?
I mean, they play different positions, so it's tough. Sure. I've liked what I've seen from Derek Stingley as well. I try to remind everyone this.
There's Petrie.
No, I know what you mean with Petrie, but I'm saying it's tough to compare the two just because they play different positions. Stingley and Sauce both could be very good players. I think that's likely going to happen for both of them. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other, as I've always tried to say.
Well, but you know they're going to be forever compared because correct. Of where they were taken and how the Texans passed on one to take the other.
Yes, no doubt they will always be compared, but I don't think Stingley's a bust if Sauce ends up being better. That's not how I would look at it.
No, yeah. I mean, just because, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon was drafted number one. He probably wasn't as great as Jordan. It wasn't a bust.
No.
Say it worked out for the Rockets.
Yeah, it worked out for the Rockets. Astros lineup just came out today, and this is always our favorite part of the show where Blankers has to guess who has the day off today.
Okay. I just have to. You're going to tell me how many?
I don't think any of them have the day off unless you want to include the center fielder position and the catcher position.
Hey, your boy Jake actually showed out a little bit this weekend.
Jake the Rake?
You're welcome.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's back in the lineup today.
Oh, well, then there you go. They're going to take that long, hard look that we were wondering about to see if he might be on that playoff roster playing some center field.
Jake Meyer's easily my favorite Jake that I know. Christian Vasquez doesn't have the – but Christian Vasquez is not a regular, though. So, doesn't look like – it looks like a playoff lineup.
The Phillies need the game.
They do.
He was going to honor, like, the integrity of the game and play his guys. I wonder how long McCullers pitches, though.
Well, he needs to get a nice little tune-up start. He hadn't pitched in a
while. Yeah, because he was sick. He missed his last start, so you need him to get back kind of on the horse and
I need him to throw 100 pitches.
That could be like five innings.
I don't care how many innings. I want to see 100 pitches, though.
Probably,
yes, it could be four.
They may hover around 80 or so.
That's not great. This will be his last start before the playoffs.
Phillies, by the way, have nothing to worry about. Brewers wear yellow socks for a reason. They've peed down their leg long enough to realize they're peeing away their playoffs.
Well, the Phillies did the same thing for a while, too. Yeah. Both teams couldn't win.
That last wild card is no one wants to
win
it.
No one wants it.
No one wants to win it. And then Dusty's going to go with, and rightfully so, with Lance, Verlander, and Fromber, his top three in his rotation against the Phillies, number is one. Yeah, 5 days off.
He needs just to keep them primed before they have to pitch again, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. We're hanging out with Jake. You can listen to him Monday through Friday here on ESPN 97.5, the Wheelhouse, 3-7. How would you feel if the Texans go winless?
How would I feel? Yeah. I mean, I think I would feel bad going through it if I'm a fan of the team, but at the end of the day, you're getting the top pick in the draft and you're finally getting that quarterback answer, it feel like.
It sounds like you embrace the suck.
Well, I mean, at this point, if you're
Jake,
winless,
this is you guys didn't think about it. It's okay to just embrace the fact that you embrace it.
Well, I wanted this team to be competitive and win games. Like, I was rooting for Davis Mills to be the guy, but you know, here we are a month in. You're the only team in the NFL without a win. It's becoming pretty obvious to anyone with eyeballs that this team needs a quarterback. And when you're that bad, you take a quarterback at the top of the draft.
You watched the game yesterday. Did you see anything that would tell you differently than they need a quarterback? Because
no.
If you watched that first half, it was even more set in stone than it was after the first three games.
Watching it again this morning, it was like every Texans game from this year, but in reverse. It's like the meltdown happened at the beginning of the game, and then the catch-up happened in the second half. Completely reversed from what we have seen the first couple weeks. But I don't want to hear from Lovie Smith after the game. We're close. You're nowhere near close. This seems awful right now. And they had a fake comeback in the second half that I don't put any stock into, because we see this all the time in the NFL. A team gets up big, and you score a little garbage time touchdown here or there. I mean, they did the same thing against the Rams
last
year.
The Mills Mafia people they absolutely amaze me every single game with the fact that they can try and find the positives to tell us to stop pointing out the obvious and realize this guy could still be great. I mean, the first half and the one that's going to – I'm going to keep going back to it because it's the one that's engraved in my mind is – there's no one around him. He's suddenly not feeling pressure, so we're not worried about the internal clock or the decision-making in the pocket. He's standing with all the time in the world. Collins is wide open with not a guy near him, and he found a way to not even put it in the same zip code.
Yeah, that was really bad. A couple throws that he just completely air-mailed
or throws missed. Made to look like they were so challengingly hard that no one could pull them off.
Now, he had a couple of really good throws back-to-back. He had the little go route to Nico, where he dropped it in the bucket from about 45 yards out. And
he threw
a post-strike to Brandon Cooks. He has talent.
He's not inept. The problem is...
He's
not inept as a quarterback. Oh. Like, there are moments where you could see the potential, but that's the problem. You can't go from the way he finished last year, and you could point to moments last year as a rookie. Well, you got to now put that together over the course of a full game, and you got to win games in the fourth quarter. And up until yesterday, where it was basically playing catch up in garbage time, and he still wasn't great statistically in the fourth, they had been outscored 30-0, and that's how you're judged.
This isn't rocket science, and I'm not trying to rewrite any books or anything like that. But there's a massive difference between being considered to possibly be a franchise quarterback and being basically evaluated as a guy that could be a long-term backup in this league. He can play in this league as a backup. He can find a role on a roster for multiple years because he does have some talent, as you guys were saying. It's just that people need to start realistically understanding what he's shown on tape doesn't validate anybody's belief before the season he could be your franchise quarterback.
And if you're not going to win enough games and you're picking at the top of the draft, it's almost irresponsible if you don't take one of the top guys. Because, like, ask yourself this. When you're watching this game yesterday, you see the skill set Justin Herbert
has. That's
what
I said. Just look across the field.
Like, Davis Mills can't do that. Davis Mills at his best can't go toe-to-toe with that guy, I don't believe, if they're both playing, you know, at whatever their A level is. And if you don't have the guy, you're always going to be searching for the guy. So maybe they win a couple games here or there, and you could argue, give Mills a year three. You're picking near the top. If you're winless, like the original question was, and you're not taking one of these quarterbacks that are supposed to be really good coming out, I think you're making a huge mistake if you're Nick
Casario. But here's the thing. When you're looking across the field, this is something that we've harped on, which is why we said top 15 quarterback isn't good enough. Not only is that dude across the field really, really good, he's in your conference, and so is Mahomes, and so is Allen. And those are the guys that you're going to have to beat to get where you have never been before that this fan base is clamoring for, that this organization supposedly wants to get to, which is AFC Championship games, and then win that and get to a Super Bowl and win that. And if you're not better than those guys, you're not getting where you want to go. That means you got to go draft a guy that can get you in that conversation.
No doubt. I mean, you either have a guy or you're searching for the guy. And ask yourself this. If Davis Mills is at his best, what is he? Is he ever going to be a top 10 quarterback? I don't see it. Maybe he's a game manager. Maybe he's Alex Smith type. But that's not going to win you a Super Bowl.
See, whenever you brought up Herbert, like the moment that that really stood out in the game yesterday, because, I mean, you can see Herbert throughout the game just making throw after throw of like, okay, that guy's a top five-ish quarterback in the NFL. Davis Mills has a long way to go to that, and I'm not even sure he has that in the bag. But when the Chargers needed a drive in that game yesterday, because the Texans made it a one-possession game, they pulled within three, and then what does Justin Herbert do? He leads a 12-play, 84-yard drive and just marches the Chargers down the field. That's the one thing they've been looking
at. And they had confidence to go into fourth and two because they had Justin Herbert.
And they believed in their offense. They believed in Justin Herbert
and
their offense. And a defensive-minded coach also.
That's right.
Brandon Staley's a defensive-minded guy, so it's not this offensive coordinator. I'm just going to go for it all willy-nilly. And look, Brandon Staley does some unconventional things. We know that. He's uber-aggressive, whereas Lovie Smith is probably probably uber conservative. But that's the one thing that we've looked at from Davis Mills all year long. Okay, game manager, go be a game winner. Because if you don't have a game winner as an NFL quarterback, maybe you can get to the playoffs once or twice in your career whenever you build this, oh my goodness, once in a generation team around that quarterback. I agree with what you said, Jake. Like today in the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback that you feel can win you any given day, or if you go into a season with that quarterback where you feel you're a playoff contender any given year, what are you really doing?
And you're, as a general manager, you're still looking for that guy no matter who you have currently playing quarterback for you.
No doubt. And like you mentioned all the other quarterbacks in the AFC, which, I mean, it's a pretty big bar, right? You have Deshaun, you have Lamar, you have Josh Allen, you have Herbert, you have Burrow. And then you have other young guys, too, that you're like, these guys could probably be better than Davis Mills. Trevor Lawrence is showing much better in his second season than his rookie year with a real head coach. Zach Wilson came back yesterday. Wasn't great in his first game back, but it was his first game back.
We'll see what he's like.
He was great in the fourth
Ryan
quarter.
Tannehill.
Yeah, we're going to leave Ryan Tannehill off of that. But here's like the other part of the equation is that all of these quarterbacks we're looking at, if you don't take those quarterbacks, well, they're going to other teams.
Someone else will,
potentially in the AFC. So if you keep Davis Mills, maybe they're not those guys. But is he going to be better than the rookie class coming forward?
And the eye test could tell you as well, what are all those quarterbacks have in common? They have very unique physical traits. And Mills, what does he do really well as a quarterback? He's tall.
Uh-huh.
He could stand in the pocket, and he could occasionally be accurate.
He has an
right?
exceptional neck.
Like, other than Tom Brady, who I think at this point we all can agree is the outlier at that position doing what he's done for 20-something years in the NFL – all the great quarterbacks in the NFL all can move. And if they're not, quote-unquote, mobile quarterbacks like Lamar, they can throw on the run. They can make plays with their legs. Davis Mills is a statue back
there. You watched
Herbert
yesterday. You watched Mahomes last night. You watched guys that can play playground football if they have to, can make the big throw if they have to, can make the smart play in the pocket if they have to, can scramble and extend a play if they have to. Can you pencil Davis Mills and say he can do that too in any of those things? I don't think those skill sets are for him.
I would push back a little bit in the whole, like, you must have mobility out of a quarterback to
Brady
win at a high level.
You don't have to have mobility.
And Matt Stafford proved it a little bit last year. Justin Herbert is athletic enough. Like, it seems like you need athletic enough. But even like Peyton Manning wasn't very mobile. But what set those guys apart is they had unbelievable footwork in the pocket. So, like, they're not eluding the rush because they're incredible athletes, but they're eluding the rush because their footwork's elite. It's better than everybody else. Davis Mills in that first interception, average footwork, he flushes the pocket to his right, and he has time to throw. But he's not capable of doing that.
You got to have an accurate arm, too. No matter how good your footwork is,
no doubt.
Some of these guys without their feet on the ground can throw a laser where it needs to go.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
Mills Mania. Now, we'll talk plenty.
Mills Mania.
We'll talk plenty about the Texans. We got Cody, of course, who was at the game. We'll get the Stutzervations from him. We'll talk plenty about NFL Week 4. College football remains in full swing. I'm very disappointed in my Aggies, Branham.
BK's still on extended vacation.
I think we're all a little disappointed in our football programs.
BK, I believe, here today. The next Jewish holiday commences tomorrow. So enjoy BK while we have him.
Oh, that sounds great. You won't want to miss it. Keep it here for the Wheelhouse. Thanks to Brennan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.